Thanks for joining us now on KVCR for KVC Arts. Arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. This edition of KVC Arts revolves, to coin a phrase, around a spelling bee.
Miss Peretti, please spell syzygy.
S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. Syzygy?
We have a winner!
Thank you! Thank you! Thank you!
At the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, my parents keep on telling me, just being here is winning, although I know it isn't so.
But it's a very nice, very, very nice,
very, very, very nice, very nice beginning.
Our winner here last year, Chip Tolentino. Miss Peretti! And our youngest competitor, Logan Schwartz and Grubinier.
At the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Game, we all stand when they announce my name.
Leaf Coney Bear.
And try and keep from shaking.
A laugh if shaking will not pass.
Cause it's a very big, very fraught, simple, but it's not. It's a very big undertaking.
Returning after last season's tragic setback, William Barfy.
It's pronounced Barfay. There's an accent ago.
I'm not sure who this girl is.
Marcy Park, recent transfer.
Winner's destination, Washington, D.C.
Plasma TV in a fancy hotel where they treat you well. All because you love to spell. We spell.
The 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, that's at Riverside Community Players. We'll also be hearing about the upcoming 100th season of the Riverside Community Players. And with that, we welcome Mia Mercado. She's directing the play. Also, Philip Gabriel, board member, director, longtime player as well, and Michael Shane Eastman, also longtime board member and part of the cast. So welcome all of you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, fantastic.
Before we go into the play and, of course, the 100th season, let's get a little bit of each person's history with and separate from the Riverside Community Players. Michael, how about you starting?
Great, yeah. I started with the Players back when I was in junior high. They were doing a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, and it's actually, I think, the last time that Shakespeare was done in the main stage season, 20-some years ago now. But I auditioned for that show, got in, not as a fairy, but as a servant to Theseus. I wore a toga around on stage, and I loved it. I loved experiencing theater with adults. I've been doing children's theater for a couple years prior to that. And I just kept coming back, and I started directing there when I was around 25, 26, and just directing and acting there. And it's been my home theater where I really like to come home and just kind of play.
Excellent. Philip, how about you?
My first show at Riverside Community Players was about 15 years ago, and I had just moved to Riverside. We moved over New Year's Eve weekend, that long weekend. And I said to myself, okay, I'm going to let myself settle down here. You know, I'd like to find a theater, but I'm not going to, you know, look right away. So on January 5th, they were having auditions for Agatha Christie's Mousetrap at Riverside Community Players, and I auditioned. And I've been working at Riverside Community Players.
Took you all of 5 days.
It took me 5 days in Riverside to do it, and I love it. It's a great little theater. Theater in the Round is such a different experience for an actor, and I think that's one of the things I love.
And an audience as well.
And an audience as well. It's very immersive, but there's something unique about the experience of Theater in the Round that you just don't get with any other kind of theater.
Oh, without a doubt. As a spectator and, of course, as a performer as well. Okay, so Mia Mercado, no stranger to KVC Arts. She's been in a number of different capacities for a number of events here and there. But now let's revisit your history as well, around and with the Riverside Community Players and separate from that as well.
Well, I have directed twice before for RCP. I've directed The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance and also Always a Bridesmaid. very fun experiences for me. And so I was really excited when I heard that they were doing 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And Philip and I were in a show together at that time, and he encouraged me to apply to direct. And I was really honored that I was chosen. I know they had a great pool to select from. And I do theater all around the Inland Empire and beyond. I do theater in Redlands, where I reside. I drive all the way out to Rancho Mirage to do shows out there. I've done shows in Orange County, in Beverly Hills. But the Inland Empire is my home, and that's where I like to play the most.
Nice.
And me as being modest, I begged her to apply to direct this. I, Mia, you have to do this.
There was a little arm twisting.
There might have been, just a little
not
bit.
Not much.
Yeah. Truly, I wouldn't have expected resistance at all on this one. You diving in.
You know why? Because I wanted to be in the show.
Okay.
And I am a firm believer that a director should not be in the show that they're directing. So I had to make a choice, and I know I made the right choice.
Wow, nice. Let's hear about now then the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. This is running June 21st through July 7th. And first, let's hear from the board. How did this one even come to the table? The show has been around now for maybe 20 years?
Almost.
Well, our process is that we look at several different plays at any given time. And it has been, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but this has been 9 years since we've done a musical at Riverside Community Players.
That's correct. So we knew that it was a real big decision as far as what will be that first show out of the gate.
You know, and part of the reason it's been a while is that we've been upgrading our sound system, our light system over the last 2 or 3 years to get to a point where we felt like we could do a musical again. So we knew that this was going to have to be one that we could do with our new sound system, but yet one that would draw in. And it was definitely on a short list of, I'd say, maybe only 2 or 3 other musicals because it's so accessible and it's a great script. It's a great time for people.
It's so perfect for our space.
And it's perfect for an arena. Exactly. Yeah.
I think the original production was In the Round.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Now, this was originally based on, I don't know if it should be said or spelled. I think it's CrepusCule. I think
Crepuscule. That is correct.
Okay. Well, Mia, when did you first become aware of the 25th Annual Putnam County? What do you call it, by the way? You can't say that full title every time.
Yeah, we usually just call it Spelling Bee.
Okay, Spelling Bee. Okay.
Yeah. I first came acquainted with it watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Every year they do a little snippet from all the big musicals. And then a local theater was producing that play, and I was the stage manager and immediately fell in love with it and knew that I wanted to do this again.
We talked about what it was first based on and what it started off, I think, off-Broadway before moving on to Broadway and then different tours, different countries.
Yeah, so it started as an improvisational play, and it was just a fun piece being done by a comedy group in New York called The Farm. And then over some time, it was recommended that Rachel Shinkin be brought in, and she is the one who wrote the book for the musical. And then they were able to bring in William Finn, who wrote the music and lyrics for the show. So then it went to Off-Broadway. They did some testing there in 2005. And then very shortly after, maybe only 3 months later, they took it to Broadway, where it was nominated for many different Tony Awards, Drama Desk Awards. And in fact, it won numerous of those awards. It was directed by James LaPine.
So now let's hear about the plot line.
All right. So this musical is based on a spelling bee, something that all American children are familiar with. You start out with your little local spelling bees, and then you go to your regionals, your counties, and then the final big bee, which we just had in D.C. So all of these children have won their area or placed. And they have all come together. There's 6 spellers. And something really unique and fun about this musical is that we call up volunteers. So there are also 4 volunteer spellers that come from our audience. And then we have our facilitators of the bee. One of those roles is played by Mike. He plays Panch.
Panch?
Douglas Panch. He's the vice principal.
Okay.
He's
okay.
Filling in for the day.
Okay.
And then there's also a comfort counselor that helps the children when they have unfortunately spelled the word incorrectly.
And the comfort counselor is a great character because he is doing community service for his parole. That's why he's there that day.
It's an interesting cast of characters. Each of them have their own little idiosyncrasies and nuances, and I think they're very relatable, even though they're children in their tween years, being played by adults. these are all kids that you know. These are kids that you grew up with. These are siblings that you had, and you can recognize yourself or someone you know in all of these characters. It's really quite endearing. Even with all of their quirkiness, their oddness, and their idiosyncrasies, they all are really endearing characters that I think the audience will relate to and really love.
Beautiful. So as you mentioned, it's a combination of people who have been cast, but then also some volunteers from the audience. So I don't know if this is a spoiler, so you can address this or not, but the audience members, you kind of have to hope that not only are they decent spellers, but you also have to hope that they're not really, really good spellers.
Well, I don't want to give anything of the show away. Yeah. We encourage all of our volunteers to try to spell the word the best they can. And we try to pick people that are not familiar with the show, people who are not performers. We want our performers to have the spotlight. And try and also weed out maybe somebody who's been
a little too comfortable on stage.
A little too, perhaps they had some wine before they came.
No drunk sixth graders in our show.
You know, there are a lot of different things that are said throughout the play that people might raise an eyebrow, and I think that's the absolute intent of the writers.
Okay.
We need to all, in this serious world, be able to laugh and joke and play and have fun. And it's all done very lighthearted. It's nothing that I think people would be offended by. I certainly would hope not.
Yeah,
so we keep it jovial, we keep it light, we keep it fun, but we also stick to the script. I'm a firm believer that if a theater picks a piece to perform, we should do it as it's written, and there are a lot of copyright laws regarding that, that you must do certain plays as are written. However, this play does have an extensive foreword from the author saying that we are able to take liberties, and there are several that Panch and Rona, the other leader at the Spelling Bee, they get to make up a lot and improvise a lot and have fun. And so every show will be a little bit different.
All right. Well, this can go, maybe this ties in. This can go to any or all of you. Past experiences with the show, and maybe include things you hope to God don't happen again.
Well, I know I have history with the show.
Okay.
I was set to direct it about 10 years or so ago
for
a different theater company out in like a Hemet, San Jacinto area. I was unfamiliar with the show, so I got a little research as I was driving up to meet with the producer and things of that nature, and just wasn't that familiar with it. I kind of started to fall in love with it. What's interesting to me is the show is kind of in two halves. The first half really is based in this improvisational comedy troupe experiment that they did. And the second half is when you see these characters like really start to develop and come alive, and you start really finding yourself as an audience member going like, oh my gosh, like this 30-year-old playing a sixth grader, I actually care and I'm invested in them now, even though they've been so silly up until now. And there's this real great turning point in the second half of the show where just all these emotions start to land and you start to like look back and have nostalgia of the things that really mattered to you when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like the beauty of this show is the first half is just pure improv, silly, fun, raucous entertainment, and then by the end of it, it just takes to a place where you realize like how important these things are for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, incredible. And so since it's improvisational in nature, is it, I mean, truly improv?
There are many moments. The show is kind of like a choose your own adventure for me as
Cool.
I facilitate the show live on stage, where if this audience person gets this right, then that means I need to do a zig as opposed to a zag later on in the show.
Ah, nicely put. Okay, really, really cool. We should mention that there is some adult language and some mature humor on this. That said, let's avoid talking about one of the songs in particular. Yeah, you know the one. Okay, but some of the standout songs, some of the ones that will get a rise out of people.
Oh, everybody loves Magic Foot. Magic Foot is done by a character named William Barfay, and he spells with his magical foot. So that's a real crowd pleaser. Woe Is Me is sung by Logan Schwartz and Grubinier about her two dads. That's also a really fun song. And as Mike alluded to, the first act is really introductory and showing you these kids and what their specialty is or what they're great at doing or how they got to the top of their spelling game. The show is one long continuous afternoon at a spelling bee. So as soon as the show starts, we are introduced to all of the spellers. And then there is a little snack break intermission. And then we continue on with the final three spellers as we get to the end. And a champion is crowned.
Okay. Again, this is opening June 21st, running through July 7th, a combination of evening performances. There will be some matinees as well. How about the website? How to contact the theater? Although I suppose this would be at the website.
It is on the website, yes. RiversideCommunityPlayers.com.
Easy enough right there. And any other social media presence? Facebook, Instagram?
We have a Facebook. We have an Instagram. We have a YouTube account as well where we post trailers and interviews, things of that nature that we do for every production. So be sure to check us out on all the social media sites.
Are there tweeters amongst you as well?
I don't think we're on X or okay. What was formerly known as Twitter.
Formerly known as X, yeah. No, we don't have an X account yet.
We're not there yet, and we're not on TikTok yet.
Okay. Or Snapchat, yeah.
Okay, right. Oh, yeah.
Well, not all of us.
Not the theater, anyway.
So again, simply put, RiversideCommunityPlayers.com. Some of the songs that you mentioned, going beyond those, some that just, you know, you want to hear it every time. You know, there's some shows, some songs that we know from shows growing up doing theater, perhaps. There are some that you never get tired of.
Yeah, that's the I Love You song. And that is really the big emotional song of the show. It's kind of towards the end. And it's a beautiful, beautiful trio between three of the actors. In fact, these actors brought so much on our first read that several of us had tears in our eyes. It's really a beautiful moment. And I think people look forward to that show because it is so well written, the music and the lyrics as well.
I think he takes out on me what he wants to take out on you. Mama, 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 how I wish you were home. How I wish you were home. How I wish you were, wish you. Highly unrealistic, wildly fanciful.
That is correct.
I love you.
Find many past KVC Arts through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. On this edition of the program, we've been hearing about the Riverside Community Players' upcoming production of the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. We have with us Philip Gabriel, board member, Michael Shane Eastman, also on the board and in the cast of the Spelling Bee, and Mia Mercado, director. Now let's hear a bit of the history of the theater, as well as word of the upcoming 100th season. First, though, does the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee wrap the 99th season?
It does, yeah. It's our final show of the 99th season and segues into our 100th.
Okay.
And as soon as Putnam closes on its final performance, rehearsals will start for our 100th.
Oh, just going right into
it. Going right into it, yeah.
Something to point out, when we say 100th season, these are continuous seasons, yes?
That is correct. This is a 100 consecutive seasons, and that's not something a lot of theaters can say. And certainly west of the Mississippi, I mean, it would be hard to claim claim that we're the only ones, but we've got to be one of maybe three theaters that have had consecutive seasons through wars, pandemics, all sorts of things. I mean, even recently, we definitely had to do a pivot during the pandemic. And obviously, we halted all in-person performances suddenly when the world came to a screeching halt. But within 3 or 4 months, I would say, we started doing online offerings, everything from Zoom readings to actually taped shows that we would broadcast on our YouTube channel as well as our Facebook page. So that kept us continuous.
And we took advantage of our great outdoor courtyard where we were able to social distance as a group.
We started doing outdoor shows a couple of years. We did some Shakespeare out in the courtyard.
Yep. Did some cabarets out there.
Cabarets, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
wow.
Everybody really wanted to come back and do something. We were just jonesing to get back together, even though we were, you know, socially distancing and doing it with masks. But when we were first able to come back together, even though we were all literally 5 feet apart, audience members and actors, there was just such an energy there. And that's live theater.
You know? Nice. Philip here was one of the last actors to act on the boards right before the pandemic. And then he directed the very first show back in the theater.
I did. Yeah, that's true. I did. You were in it. That's true. We had no idea, though, at the time that that was going to be our last show. It was a children's show we did. We closed it. We do a lot of community outreach with students and so forth with 2 shows that we do every year. We call them the Family Series. Happened to be one of our Family Series shows, and we closed it with a Sunday performance, and that was it. Was the last live thing. They loaded in actually the next show, which was
The Mousetrap.
Was going to be The Mousetrap again. And the Mousetrap set stayed on stage for about a year.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of eerie. You know, I would go in and check the theater occasionally and, you know, kind of wander through Monkswell Manor and sad in a way, you know. But it absolutely stayed as it was, as those actors left rehearsal that night.
Oh, my gosh.
Not knowing they were not coming back, you know.
Wow. And then you said some of the things that you did during the time of the pandemic were by Zoom. Are we talking about videotaping plays and presenting those? Are we talking workshops? I guess maybe this might be a good way to expand also into what else does Riverside Community Players offer beyond the plays themselves?
Well, what we offered during pandemic, we had a new work by a local playwright called Robert Merrill, and we did a show that he had written via Zoom. And then Mike single-handedly became a film director, and we...
with the help of some friends of mine, Nathan Sanfilippo and Diego.
Those gentlemen had been working with the theater as actors as well. You put together some filmed scripts, I guess it was. I mean, we did Christmas Carol that way.
We did an adaptation of Lovecraft stories.
Yeah, we did a Halloween show.
Mm,
so
wow.
We became Riverside Community studios. Players movie studios for 6 months there. And I think you can still see that on YouTube. That's available.
They're still available to purchase.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Oh, you can purchase. Okay, well, that's good to know.
I'm looking for history, not a pitch here. But okay, that's fine. Okay.
Well, we always need money, David.
You know? We're a nonprofit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. H.P. Lovecraft, a compilation of stories? What was this?
I met with Nathan, who's a fellow lover of writing and horror and things of that nature. And I love horror. Mm-hmm. I direct the Halloween show. I've done a couple years. I did Dracula. I did Frankenstein. I did Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So I've always been drawn to horror. And so when we had this time to basically go, hey, we need to create something, but a lot of royalties for licensed plays weren't letting us do filmed productions.
Right.
Especially ad nauseum like that, just open on the internet. So Nathan and I met together and we adapted 2 Lovecraft stories and 2 Poe stories and formed them into kind of an anthology called American Gothic. So we took The Raven and Berenice from Edgar Allan Poe. Mm, okay. And then we took The Shadow of Innsmouth and we took the old book from Lovecraft. Very different. One was kind of the Cthulhu mythos, kind of that feeling. And the other one was very different than what we usually think of Lovecraft. It was kind of a way to basically open that up into a different realm.
Oh, totally cool. Well, so who wants to tackle Janet Scott, looking at the year 1925? We're again now going back to the fact that we're coming up on the 100th season for Riverside Community Players. So Janet Scott, 1925.
Well, back in 1925, Janet Scott and some like-minded folk got together at the Riverside Women's Club and said, let's put on a show and let's form a group of players here. The Women's Club's still there. It's on 14th and Brockton. So the building is actually still there. That our first show is, or the side of the building anyway. They may have reconstructed it in the meantime, but it's there. And they started their first season in 1925 and offered mostly one acts the first year or so. And then it just kept going from there. And their permanent home, we really never had a permanent home for the first, 50 years, I want to say.
Until 95 or so, right?
Well, actually, 1953, 54 is when we moved into our current building. We bought the land and had the current mid-century building that you come to now was constructed. But before that, we were gypsy players, really. I mean, several local schools. There was one over close to Lemon Street in downtown Riverside. There was, of course, the Women's Club. And then before finally finding a permanent home on 14th and Brockton, where we are now, in 1953.
Wow.
And interestingly enough, actually, we're talking about it being in the round. It wasn't intended to be in the round. What happened was they ran out of money.
Oh, no.
They had always intended to make it a proscenium, but they got the building built, and what was going to be the shop area was still open, and they couldn't really afford a stage. So they said, well, let's do this in the round. This very avant-garde thing at the time, 1950s, you know, you had things like the Actors Studio going on, doing things in the round, and that's what they decided to do. So it was actually out of economics. And turns out when they were able to afford building a proscenium, it just had become known as the Theater in the Round. So hence, we're still in the round.
For this edition of KVC Arts, I've been speaking with Philip Gabriel, longtime board member with Riverside Community Players, Mia Mercado, director of the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, and Michael Shane Eastman, also a longtime board member and part of the cast. More at RiversideCommunityPlayers.com. With that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Mia, Mike, and Philip. Here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Tony Lopez, and Shireen Awad. Many past KVC Arts can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. You can also find a calendar of events at kvcrnews.org. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts. Behind us now, for example, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support, which you can do any time of the year. Go to kvcrnews.org/support. And thanks again.